Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, joined as always by Brandon Scott, otherwise known as B. Scott. Well, I know it was technically May last week when we recorded the podcast, but the month of May is here. We're in full swing in the month of May, which means, you know, if you're Indiana boys like us, you know that it's time to talk IndyCar, Indy 500. This starts.
Always time to talk IndyCar. It doesn't matter if it's the month of May or July when the IndyCar is back here, or if it's February or December and your kids are asking for race cars for Christmas. It's Indy.
Like, are we talking actual race cars? I mean, you do have that, you know, fancy estate now that you've your new home and everything. So
I did just hire a contract crew led by Dale Jr. building my kids a dirt track in the backyard.
There you go. See, just budding racing superstars right there. So
there you go.
You know, we grow more than basketball in Indiana. We grow racing in Indiana.
And wrestlers,
all kinds of things, to be honest. But yeah, we're going to get into it here. We're going to give you a full recap of the IndyCar season so far. We're going to say, tackle the biggest storylines going into the month. And then we're going to preview the race this weekend, which is the GMR Grand Prix, as the IndyCars will take to the road course as the month of May gets kicked off. So very excited to talk about that. If you're listening on YouTube, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, if you're watching us live on Twitch, welcome in. B. Scott, first and foremost, though, How have you been since last week? How are you doing? How are you holding up?
I'm doing good. Sun is shining. It's not raining for three straight days.
And it got to the 80s today.
Yeah, it was hot. I came out of the office today and I had to crank the AC in the car. I was like, whoo, who turned on the heat?
Yeah, I mean, I am maybe the most tired that I've been in a while because that heat will put you to sleep. I was a little tired already going into today, but also like I've started mixing in more like strength training into my workouts, and dude, my arms are killing me. I'm like ready to go to bed right now. Yeah, it is a good sign.
When you are sore from lifting, that is like the best kind of sore you can possibly have. That's when you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, because it's not like pain. It's just kind of like, But yeah, I hopefully it's going towards good things. So I'm excited about it.
His name is Craig Crash Collins and he hits dingers.
He does. I mean, dude, I wish that'd be great. I feel like I would most resemble that kid. Just, you know, if I had
Auburn.
Yeah. Any ounce of athletic ability.
DeKiara. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but man, he's
Sonny
just
Dingers.
Sonny Dingers. He just hits home runs.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and transition here. Another home run is the month of May. It's a home run every year. We start talking racing here on the podcast just a little bit more than usual. Like I said, this kicks off, about 3 weeks of coverage here on the Crash Course podcast.
Our friends in New Zealand love this.
Hello, New Zealand.
We need to add them into the friends of the podcast.
Yeah, friends segment. Of the show. Shout out to our Kiwis, yeah. Because every time we mention Scott Dixon, the views just start skyrocketing. So thank you guys for your support over in New Zealand. The IndyCar season so far has been a fun one. It all got started back in February, wasn't it? End of February was when the season kicked off.
A little bit earlier this year,
right? With the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. It was all Scott McLaughlin that week. I mean, he wins the pole, he leads 49 of 100 laps, and then he holds off Alex Palou, the defending champion, to score his first IndyCar win. Will Power was third, Colton Herta was fourth, Romain Grosjean was fifth. Then the series shifted to Texas, the first and only oval thus far on the season. And it didn't disappoint. Scott McLaughlin picks up right where he left off at St. Pete, leading 186 of 248 laps. There was a big crash on lap 129 involving Elio Castroneves, Graham Rahal, and Delvin DeFrancesco. As DeFrancesco, I think he went kind of hard into that corner and caused the wreck there. Joseph Newgarden, who led just three laps, passes McLaughlin on the final lap to score the win. Marcus Ericsson was third.
That truly matters.
Exactly. I mean, that's what Texas is all about. I mean, I shared, you know, shocker, I'm, you know, the fantasy sports, you know, addict here. I am in a fantasy IndyCar league, and I found a post on YouTube of like great moments from Texas, and I just had so much fun. It was like a 5 to 8 minute video of just like all the great finishes at Texas. And obviously, you know, there's just a whole lot more that you could include too, but I was just like, man, I love this race.
One of the best. And for some reason, the drivers don't really like it anymore.
I mean,
it's gnarly. Yeah. It's fast. And it's not exactly the safest.
Yeah. I was going to say, isn't it like super hard on your body too? Cause of all the G forces.
Yeah.
So
just constant. I mean, those cars are just full bore almost the entire time.
I remember
think of how NASCAR is at like Talladega. They never really let off the gas.
Right.
That is IndyCar at Texas.
Right. Yeah. Cause I remember I think it might have been Atlanta where like CART back in the day was testing there and like drivers were complaining like we're blacking out because of how fast we're going.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's nuts. But yeah, so that concluded that race. Will Power was fourth. Scott Dixon was fifth at Texas. Round three, the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Colton Herta leads the first 28 laps, but a collision with the wall ends his day early. Alex Palou led 22 laps in the middle stages of the race, but Joseph Newgarden takes the lead at lap 55 and does not look back. He scores his second straight win on the season. Romain Grosjean was second. Alex Palou third. Will Power fourth. Pato O'Ward was fifth. And then the last race kicking off the month of May a couple of weeks ago, it was the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. Rinus VK dominates, led 57 laps, but is passed by Pato O'Ward with 26 laps left. O'Ward scores his first win of the season, his third career win. Alex Palou was second. Rinus VK was third. Will Power was fourth. Scott Dixon was fifth. So that's the season so far. And it kind of, you know, as we wrap up the recap here, you know, the big question is, you know, what's the, you know, biggest surprise, you know, on the season so far. And for me, I mean, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when we asked, you know, what was the biggest surprise of as far as who fell in the draft last week? And it's like the ubiquitous unanimous answer was Malik Willis, just because of how it happened. I think you got to go with, you know, I think the obvious answer here, and that is Scott McLaughlin. I mean, you know, the comment section of our IndyCar preview, like standalone video, not the podcast, but just the regular, you know, the video that we put out on that, was, you know, they were talking about how we weren't talking about him. They're like, you know, you didn't mention Scott McLaughlin at all. And we're like, I mean, that's okay. That's fine, I guess. It looks like we should have been talking about him. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year last season, but it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, yeah, he won Rookie of the Year, and that's a great honor, but it wasn't like there was a budding class like behind him. He was the only full-time rookie last year, I thought.
Oh, yeah, he was the only full-time because Romain Grosjean only ran street courses.
Right. Yeah. So Romain Grosjean had won a race last year or a couple of races, especially that first one at Indy. Like maybe he could have gotten into the mix there. But you know, he ran well.
He really did.
McLaughlin only had one podium finish, two top five finishes. His five laps led at the Grand Prix of Portland were his only laps led on the year. He had four races where he finished 20th or worse. He finished 19th in the first race at Detroit in that doubleheader. I think it was 19th and 20th that weekend. So he just had a rough go of it last year, despite winning Rookie of the Year. And this year, I mean, you start off the year with your first career pull and first career win. That's pretty incredible. He led 186 laps at Texas, like we just mentioned, and narrowly missed out on the win. He's second in points, a 14th place at Long Beach is really the only blip on the season. And you know, Penske as a whole has been dominant this season.
Oh, yeah.
But going into the season, we weren't really super sure of who outside of Joseph Newgarden was really going to answer the bell. I mean, Will Power was coming off a rough year. Scott McLaughlin was kind of just like, okay, I mean, he's the rookie. So, you know, like we were trying to figure out, like, who's the odd man out between Simon Pagenaud, Will Power, and Scott McLaughlin. It's like, well, unfortunately, it kind of has to be Pagenaud just because, like, Will Power is your veteran. You don't really want to let him go. You want to stay loyal to him. You can't get rid of the guy who just won Rookie of the Year and Scott McLaughlin. So, I mean, I guess Simon Pagenaud, even though he's probably maybe the second best driver, kind of has to be the odd man out. And this year, I mean, Penske has just been like, actually, we're amazing again. Not that they ever haven't been really out of the limelight, but they've been
Three of the four races they've won so far.
Right. And they've just been, and like all three drivers have done well, which is not what we expected coming into the season. So Scott McLaughlin, big shout out. We weren't talking about him before, but now we are.
He's either Australian or he's from New Zealand as well. But he did race in Australia prior to coming over to Penske. So he was like, I think he's like a supercar champ or a road rally champ. I mean, he's a race car driver through and through. And last year was his first time in open wheel. So for him to, you know, he's got it figured out now. And now you're seeing the talent of Scott McLaughlin come shining through finally. But yeah, he is definitely the biggest surprise. For us to see him get his first win at St. Pete on a road course or a street course, that's not too surprising because, you know, he's accustomed to that kind of racing. But for him to then turn around the next race and dominate at Texas just to lose on the last lap, I mean, he's kind of showing you that, hey, look, I'm here. I'm ready to contend. Let's go. I'm comfortable on all tracks. So I'm really excited to see what he's able to do this month in Indianapolis. Do I think he's going to do great on the road course? I don't know. But Penske typically has strong cars for the 500. And, you know, it looks like this year they've got things figured out. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, definitely the biggest surprise for me. I guess the other biggest surprise would be, I don't know, I guess the consistency of Alex Palou.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's showing that, yeah, last year was not a fluke. This guy is the real deal. And I mean, he's just so consistent. It's what Ganassi drivers do though to win championships. Like I always said, welcome to the month of May. You're going to hear the Ganassi drivers' names. They're going to be up there contending. They're going to be really fast in qualifying. But guess what? They're all about big picture. They're all about winning the championship. If they win the 500, that's great. They're super excited about it. They want to win the 500, but it's the long game for them. And that's what we're seeing again. So that's a big surprise for me is just the consistency out of Alex Palou.
Yeah, I would say too, I would throw this name out as well. We'll talk about him a little bit later as well, but Will Power just having a bounce quietly, back year. Yeah.
Quiet bounce back year.
Right.
Like seeing these stats about him, it's like, wait, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. And you're like, that's, you don't really, you didn't like, cause he's not up there winning races. And I think also, it's just, okay, good.
Yeah.
My rival.
Right. Exactly. He's back. He's ready for you again. Now, you know, another thing we want to bring up though is, you know, not just who's been the surprise of the season so far, but who needs a good month at Indy to turn their season around. And you know what? We're getting our mention in of him early. We talked about having to mention his name, you know, to satisfy our New Zealand listeners.
And now we can actually put it in the tag.
Exactly. All right. Scott Dixon for me is the driver that needs a good month to turn his season around. And again, let me lead off by saying, like, it's not like he's having a bad season by any stretch of the imagination. Like, he's having an okay year. Like, put any other driver in that spot and you're fine. But you know, he was my championship pick at the beginning of the year. So maybe that's why I've got a little bit more of a like sightline for him, because I was looking at it. Joseph Newgarden was, I think, fourth. He was my championship pick last year. He was fourth going into May, sixth coming out of May. So potentially Scott Dixon could be where Joseph Newgarden was, you know, when he left Indy last year, and Joseph Newgarden ended up coming back and finishing second. But you know, he is sixth. His last win was the first race last season, first Texas race last season. Sorry, 17 races is that streak right now. 17 race drought for Scott Dixon, the longest stretch since 2003 through 2005 in Richmond. Richmond was his last of three wins in 2003 en route to winning the title in his first season. He didn't win again until Watkins Glen in 2005. Those are two tracks that are no longer on the schedule.
I wish they still were, though.
Oh, yeah, me too, to be honest.
Richmond, go back.
I love Richmond. There was a 16-race stretch from the end of 2013 till the end of 2014, so he's had similar stretches. But, yes, I did go back. Wikipedia does a great job, a much better job than Racing Reference. Like, I love, like, Basketball Reference and Baseball Reference and Football Reference. Like, they're all fantastic because they're basically the same website just for different sports. But, man, I went to Racing Reference. It is just terrible to try to navigate. For one, my favorite aspect of it, though, was the fact that they ask you what year you want to look at, and it literally starts at zero. And I was like, I wonder if I could click like the year two and it, like, what would pop up? And then it had an error. I was like, what? Which, I mean, obviously, but I was why does it start at zero instead of like 1970, or, you know what I mean? Like, it did make sense.
Year is year zero, really?
Right, exactly. That's a big
question.
This
is something we need to dive in deeper into, and that's going to be on our new podcast, Conspiracy Theory Central.
Oh my god, imagine. Oh my gosh, our conspiracy power hour.
I like that better.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so I went back through Wikipedia and I looked, and it does, like I said, it does a great job of, like, obviously listing out like where they finished in every race throughout their career. And I did it. I went and counted a couple of times just to make sure I was right. Cause I was like, man, has he really had a stretch that long? And has it really been that long since he's like had this long of a drought? And it has been. So, I mean, you talk about a historic driver having, you know, the biggest drought of his career. I mean, that's gotta be noteworthy, even though it's a driver that's still having a fantastic season. I mean, he's finished every race in the top 10, including two top five. So, like I said, it's not like he's having
DNFs.
Right. It's not like he's like crashed in two races and finished like outside the top 10 in the other two. I mean, he's having a good year, but, you know, Indy has been a place that at times for Dixon has been a coin flip. It can either go really well or really poorly. So I think what we see Scott Dixon do in Indy, whether it be doing really well or doing really poorly, I think that will be an indicator of what we'll see from him the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if he needs to have a great Indy or a great month of May to turn his season around, because like you said, his season is just, it's just going fine. It's fine, but for his standards, it's not. I'm actually going to say Connor Daly, because the stakes for him in Indy are super high. One, he's been up there, especially in the 500. I'm not going to count the GMR Grand Prix really for him. That's just like 2 days of work. I'm looking at the month of May, like the legit month of May. What his dad would say is should be the real only thing race on that track. But his start as a full-time driver for Ed Carpenter Racing hasn't been the best. Now, needless to say, that team hasn't been the best right now. I mean, Rinus VK was okay at Barber, podium. But really, when you look at it, the hopes for Connor Daly were pretty high coming into the season. Now, not high like championship contender high, but like, okay, this is the opportunity you have been waiting for. This is the opportunity that you have been pushing for and everybody's been wanting for you. Are you going to capitalize on it? And I think this is the month where he can capitalize in it. I mean, look, last year he had one of the strongest cars in the 500. I mean, he was right up there leading. He was leading that race quite a bit. So I think for him, it's not really about changing the trajectory of his season, but changing the trajectory of this opportunity he's gotten to be a full-time driver of the 20 car for ECR. So look for him. Once we get past the GMR Grand Prix, look for him to really start shining.
Yeah, I mean, and I did notice that he was another driver that I was really surprised when I was looking at the standings of like him being kind of far back there, kind of a little bit surprising. So yeah, he's the driver. And I know he was your dark horse pick, I think, at the beginning of the year, you had him picked for something at the beginning of the year.
I had him picked to win the 500.
Okay. That's
maybe my dark horse pick to win the 500.
I gotcha. So yeah, he's definitely a driver that could use a good turnaround. So before, talking about turnarounds, we're going to now get into our storylines of May. But before we do that, let's go ahead and talk about our friends of the show.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now, where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
You can also like us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go follow our Twitter at 3C Media Sports. Go to the YouTube channel. We just did a segment where we graded, the Colts draft and dove into that. You guys have been really enjoying that podcast or that video. So thank you guys for the support there. Go over there, click on it. If you are, an Indiana native like us, or just want to listen to our take on the Colts draft, go check that out. Also, 3C Media on TikTok. You go over, check some videos out there, and remember, you can watch us live every week, twitch.tv/CraigCrash. And then remember, you can listen every week on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course podcast. So going into now, we've looked back at, the season so far. Now let's go ahead and look at, what's to come of the month of May. And first, let's get into the storylines, because there is one that I found, particularly interesting as we look at the biggest storylines heading into May. And, going into the season, you think of how much Penske has dominated, but because of their dominance, it's also just kind of been a Chevy dominated season so far. That's what I think is the biggest storyline for me. The bow tie, thanks in large part to Penske, has won the first four races and have captured the pole position for three of those four races. Chevy has been dominating early. We saw a start like this for Honda during 2020 when they won the first four races of the season. The last time Honda went this long into the season without a win was 2016. Chevy won the first five races that year. Honda won two races all year. Penske won the title that year with Simon Pagenaud, so Chevy ended up winning the title, which bodes well for these Penske drivers that have done so well. Alex Palou is the only Honda driver in the top five in points. All but one driver ranked 6 through 10 in points are driving Honda. So basically the top five is all Chevys. The 6 through 10 is all Hondas. And Honda has won two of Indy 500s and has won three of the last six races at Indy overall. So big question for me is, will Chevy and Penske continue to dominate, or will Honda finally get some momentum as we get into the month of May here?
Yeah, that is definitely a big one. But then you look at the open test that they just did on the oval here recently. For me, it's, can the drivers figure out exiting pit road? We saw several wrecks from drivers exiting pit road during the open test just a few weeks ago. Apparently there was some repaving done and there was some sort of solution that was used or something. And it apparently, I don't know the full story, if it hadn't fully sunk in one area or absorbed properly, but we saw Will Power spin out. We saw Elio Castroneves hit the wall. It was a lot of drivers that have been around that track a lot that had some issues. So I'm interested to see if those issues have been figured out, or if these drivers are going to have to kind of relearn merging back into the action off of pit road.
And the open test was on the oval, right? It wasn't.
That was on the oval, yes.
Okay, so that'll be interesting to track going forward. And I mean, another big storyline as well was it was just a couple of weeks ago that we got a full field for the Indy 500. We'll talk about that more.
33. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not bumping.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get into that more when we talk about qualifying, because obviously, you know, bumping is one of the bigger, you know, draws of the month of May. Or at least one of the more exciting times.
Honestly, I've been out there the past few years when they've done bumping. It is what it is.
Well, I mean, I think it can.
A couple years ago when
James Hinchcliffe.
No, it was a young rookie bumped out Fernando Alonso. That was a big one. That one, people were like, was it Dalton? No, it wasn't Dalton Kellett.
What? Wait, that was like,
It was like 2 years ago.
I was going to say that was like 2020. Like, that was recent, wasn't it? Because I remember because I remember there was like some talk. I think we might have even talked on the podcast that year. Like, do they?
Because it was coming off the year for it was. I think it was like 2019 when it happened. Because remember, the 2020 race did not. I mean, it happened in August.
Well, right, but
I think it was 2019 because it was the year after Fernando Alonso basically ran the tires off of his car. I mean, he was in a really good position to win the race and had engine failure. So,
yeah. Cause I was like, I remember, I want to say we talked about it on the podcast. We're like, does he maybe like get another ride? Like, how does he work his way back?
Does he buy his way back in?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's another interesting thing is that who was the 33rd driver? Do you remember? I remember seeing it, but now I've drawn a blank.
Stephen Wilson.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So at least that's good. We're at the full field, which was never really in doubt. I think that we would have gotten to 33, but it's good to officially be there, especially right before the actual Grand Prix. You're not scrambling around, you know, in those last couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and talk about as well who comes into the month of May with the most momentum. We talked about, you know, our surprises of the year. We talked about who's going to need to turn it around. Who's got the most working for them right now? And I debated on this one. There's a couple of drivers that I might have gone. I'll see if you name them before I name them. I'll go ahead and give my main answer here. And that's going to be Alex Palou. I mean, he is the points leader. He's last year's champion. He has 3 podiums on the season, which is the most of any driver. So he hasn't won yet. But he has been on the podium.
That's one thing I wish IndyCar would do. I wish they would put a little bit more emphasis on wins. Because if you're not constantly looking at the standings, if I look at the results, I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's Will Power. Or not Will Power, it's Joseph Newgarden. He's the points leader. Yeah. But because he had one bad race, it's like, oh no, sorry, your 2 wins don't.
Well, it's early too, though. And that's probably part of it as well.
But I guess also it is kind of weird because, I mean, even in NASCAR, the points leader throughout the entire season finally won a race a couple of weeks ago in Chase Elliott. So,
yeah. Well, and that's what I was getting ready to say, too. The only bad thing about that is that, like, I would rather it be the way it is here than the way it is in NASCAR.
Playoff.
Oh, no, I know. I just that system went completely to where, like, you basically have both ends of the spectrum where one's more consistency based, one's more like wins, and that's obviously NASCAR. Because I remember the reason that whole thing began was because Matt Kenseth won the NASCAR championship in, I think, 2002 from just winning one race. He won Rockingham week 2 of the season and then went the rest of the way without winning, but was consistent enough.
Yeah.
But the driver who had won the most that year, I think it was rookie of the year, Ryan Newman. He had won like 6 or 7 races, but also had like 6 or 7 DNFs. So when he wasn't winning, he was crashing.
He was wreckers or checkers.
I like that. I've never heard that, wreckers or checkers. So yeah, I mean, you don't want to devolve into something like that, but yeah, it would be nice to, you know, and maybe it'll work itself out eventually, but it would be nice to see, you know, a driver that's got a couple of wins. You would think that, right? Yeah, the driver that's won 2 races or the driver that's led led a majority of the first two, including getting a win. You would think, because, I mean, Newgarden's third, McLaughlin's second in points right now, I think. Jeez. So, yeah, you win two races in your third. So, but, yeah, so. Hey,
come on, what do I have to do?
What do I need? Because, yeah, Joseph Newgarden has won two races, but his other finishes are, like, 12th and 14th. So, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, he's finished. Pillow has finished on the podium in two of the three races at Indy last season. So it's, he's good at Indy. He's been good this year. Scott McLaughlin hasn't finished in the top five since Texas, and Joseph Newgarden is coming off of 14th at Barber. So that's why I didn't go with one of those two guys, even though they're having.
That 14th was mostly because their pitch strategy backfired on him. It wasn't, he had a bad race. He actually had a really good car. It's just pitch strategy bit him in the butt. So,
yeah. So, go ahead and tell me your,
I'm actually going with Joseph Newgarden. I mean, look, he's won two of the first four races, and I think, him to be able to find some consistency, this is a really good place to start. He's never run really well on the road course here, but it is what it is. I think though, coming off of that open test, that he looked really, really good in that open test. So I think he can carry that momentum into the month of May here in Indianapolis. I look for him to have a really solid month, one of those potentially championship move months.
So the other names that I was going to mention, because Newgarden's a good one, McLaughlin's a good one, Alex Pillow is who I went with, but a couple other names that I want to shout out here, Will Power finished in the top five in all four races, Pato O'Ward comes into Indy on back-to-back wins, or not back-to-back wins, back-to-back top five finishes, including the win last week. So those were some other names that as well that I was like, okay, you could go with O'Ward because he's the most recent winner, so I mean, you win, you're carrying the most momentum because you just got a victory. You could go with Will Power because he's been the most consistent and goes to a course that he's been successful at, wink wink. There's a lot of drivers. I think, you know, even though we've seen Penske dominate, there are drivers that I think you can, I don't go into this May thinking there's going to be any one driver that's going to dominate the month. I think it's going to still be very wide open and very, very competitive still.
Oh yeah. I totally agree. Like, it's really tough to think of just one name. I mean, you're going to have the usual suspects, obviously, but it's going to be very tough. I think there's even a chance this year for guys that you're not used to talking about that are up front. We got, are going to be up front. Like, I don't know, a guy named Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
If it was just oval.
Yeah.
He would have been my pick as a guy that could come in and just blow the doors off the month. But with the road course, I'm a little hesitant there.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. I didn't even think about that. Cause this is going to be his first Indy 500, right? Or did he race one? Yeah.
No, this is his first Indy 500 and he performed like he was one of the top five in the open test a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's feeling good. And that's like, okay guys, that's a little scary because look, Jimmy Johnson, how many times has he won in Indianapolis?
Oh, I mean, it's one of those things, and that's what I was getting ready to say. Like,
I think he's won at least four.
Yeah, Jimmy, let's see here. Brickyard 400. I'm assuming that's still what it's going to be in Wikipedia or what's still going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Or I guess I could just go to winners, I guess, at Indy. Let's see, winners. Where are the winners? Pole position winners. Okay, winners, multiple winners, drivers. Jimmy Johnson won the Brickyard 400 in 2006, 2008, 2009, and 2012.
So it's four.
Yeah. So he's won before, and yeah, I was gonna mention the fact that like Jimmy Johnson is part of the reason why I like fell out of love with NASCAR because it was just such a you know, it was boring because that he was winning every year.
We haven't seen that kind of dominance.
Oh, right.
In our lifetime.
True. But yeah, I would, now that you mentioned, I didn't even, that thought had never crossed my mind. And now I'm like really hoping that happens. Like, even, I don't know that I'll pick him for the Indy 500, but I definitely like him now. Like, yeah, that would be amazing. That'd be awesome if you
won. Like, if you need if you are into betting and you want a dark horse bet, Jimmy Johnson is a good dark horse bet.
I'm interested to see. I'm sure you can bet on the Indy 500, right?
Oh, you can. Yeah, you can.
Well, because
bet on the Indy 500. Yes, you can bet on the Indy 500. You can bet winner. I think you can bet top three. You can bet top five.
I wondered because you can bet
on IndyCar every race on DraftKings.
Because I tried to bet on the Kentucky Derby and I couldn't find it.
Now, I think Kentucky Derby is because it goes directly through.
That's what I figured, the Kentucky or whatever.
There's a special app, and it's called Twin Spires.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I just deposited $5 onto, because I was like, I'll put $5 on the long shot, not the long shot that won. I only saw like the guy that was like 70-1, not 75-1 or whatever it was, 80-1. Rich Strike.
There was a family that won 20 in Southern Indiana that won 25 grand by putting a little bit of money on that horse.
Oh my gosh. Cause I wanted to put like a couple of dollars on a horse that was like 70-1. And so he was like in the 17th gate. So I was like, oh, that's gotta be the longest shot. So I was like, I'll put $5 or a couple dollars on that. I wanted to put a couple of dollars on Epicenter. Cause I was like, that's an awesome name. And then Epicenter almost won, but, that wouldn't have been as much of a payoff as the guy that literally didn't know he was in the Kentucky Derby until like 2 days before. But
the dude that was so jacked, he started attacking the other horses.
Yeah, he was like, he was on one, man. I was like, what happens if this horse like freaks out right now? Like, what do we do?
He doesn't know what to do. What do I do?
Yeah, that other horse that's like leading him was like, do I just let this other horse attack me? Like,
the guy that was riding the lead pony, he started getting bit too, and he just hauled off and punched him. that was great.
Oh man, yeah, that I was like
calm down. The after party's not till later.
Yeah, I like couldn't listen to what Mike Tirico was saying because I was like, can we just stay on the shot until something happens? Because this is getting kind of awkward, and I don't know what's gonna happen. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I figured it was something like that through like the Kentucky Derby or horse racing or whatever.
It's Twin Spires.
Okay. Cause I was like, cause that kind of makes me wonder like what the odds are, like what the, and I don't know, they're probably not out yet, but I'm genuinely curious. So I will have to look into that before.
I wouldn't put any money down on him winning any other leg of the Triple Crown.
Oh no. I'm talking about, I was switching back over to IndyCar. Yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah. I don't know if those are out yet, but.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
But speaking of predictions, this is a perfect segue, you know, because we're going to give our predictions for who we think is going to win the Grand Prix this weekend. So looking at my prediction here, we've mentioned him a couple of other times on the podcast tonight, and I'm going to go with Will Power. 9 of the 11 races on the road course have been won by Chevys. We've talked about their dominance on the season. 5 of those 9 wins have been by Will Power. Will Power is having a resurgent season. In 2021, he finished 9th in points. It was his worst season as a full-time IndyCar driver as far as points go. He had 4 top 5 finishes all season. His only win was on the Indy road course last fall. In 2022, he was on the podium at St. Pete. He finished in the top 5 in all 4 races. Power has seen both his teammates have tremendous seasons so far, and it's time for him to get in on the action. So, you know, he's been really strong this season. He goes to one of his strongest races on the schedule. And so for that, I got to go Will Power here. I think Will Power is going to get it done.
So before I give my pick for the GMR Grand Prix, right now they only have odds on the winner of the Indy 500, Jimmy Johnson is currently at plus 2,500. A simple $20 bet would pay out $520 to you. But as we get closer and everything, they'll start unlocking other options and everything. And those odds obviously will fluctuate. So yeah, for me, I'm going Will Power as well with the Grand Prix. Cause look, like I told you off air, Will Power is the only one that has yet to win for Penske this year. And he has been consistent. He's been up there. So I think he finally gets it done coming into one of his favorite tracks that he's run very well at in the past. Obviously he's won at in the past. So I think Will Power takes the checkered flag this weekend at the GMR Grand Prix.
Looking at dark horses for the race, B. Scott bullied me for my dark horse pick, but I'm still going to pick him anyway. And that is
that's okay. My dark horse pick is just about the same. just as equally like, is that really a dark horse?
It's not really a dark horse, but like it's not someone we've talked about like at all on the podcast so far, as you know, a driver that's got a lot of momentum or a driver that's, you know, really standing out to us this year. It's, you know, as far as this season goes, I would call him a dark horse. For me, it's Rinus VK. He's last year's GMR Grand Prix winner. It's the only win of his career. So I think that kind of makes you a dark horse, right? If it's your only win, yeah. I mean, because you may not, who knows if you'll win again. I don't want to put that on the man, but you know, we hope that he can get that second win. He comes into Indy having won the pole and led most of the laps at Alabama. He finished third, earning his fourth podium of his career. And two of those four podium finishes have been on the IMS road course. He's finished in the top five in three of four races on the IndyCar or on the Indy road course. So he's run well on the road course. He won last year. And so I think you got to factor him into potentially getting the win again this year, especially because for the longest time, on the IMS road course, we had like the same drivers winning. I think it was alternating years for the first like three or four years that it was Pagano and Power. I think VK has a chance to get in on that now.
And here comes my dark horse, Simon Pagano.
Perfect segue, teed it up for you.
Yeah, it's usually me doing that.
Yeah.
Look, Simon Pagano has had a lot of success at this track with two different teams. Now he's on his third team, and this is a team that is typically pretty good on the road course at Indy, and their former driver used to be a dark horse in this, their former driver being Jack Harvey. Meyer-Shank Racing, for some reason, just knows how to get the car ready for this race, for this road course. That's a really deadly combination, like in a good way, with Simon Pagano, who knows how to get around this track really, really, really well, no matter what kind of equipment he has or who he's racing for. So honestly, I would not be the least bit surprised to see Simon Pagano take the checkered flag. My gut says Will Power. My heart is telling me Simon Pagano.
And I mean, that's a team that, I mean, you talk about,
that's a team that needs a good month.
Could use a turnaround. I mean, we talked about turnarounds earlier in the podcast. I mean, Elio's had a rough go of it. Simon Pagano's, you know, kind of towards the back.
Like, this was a team that we're coming into this season. You go, okay, Meyer-Shank Racing is for real. They put the money into it. They've got the drivers. Now it's time for them to go out and perform. And it's been kind of a dud. Now, granted, Elio got scooped up in a wreck at Texas. You know, it happens. It's just, it hasn't been the best performances out of these, both of these guys. So it gets you wondering, you know, did Penske make the right decision? Like, I guess he knew more than we all did about letting Simon Pagano walk, but I don't know. You know, you're going to have those growing pains when you get to a new team and everything. But I think this is kind of this upcoming race is kind of what the doctor ordered for Simon Pagano and Meyer-Shank Racing.
Yeah. I hope that they end up turning it around, because I know we talked about it at the beginning of the year. Like, this is a great team they've put together, and they've got a lot of potential, and it's just not coming to fruition. What would make
them even better is if they were able to run a third car and they went out and got a young driver. because what concerns me about them is they got some older drivers.
Yeah.
And you got to be looking to the future. If you're going to have that kind of veteran roster, it would be good to also have a young driver in there somewhere to learn from these guys. So that way, when the time comes, it's a seamless transition. I mean, look, that's what we're kind of seeing now with Penske. It's the changing of the guard a little bit. And, you know, Scott McLaughlin and Joseph Newgarden are the young guns. I mean, can we really call Joseph Newgarden that anymore? But, you know, it's just kind of the way it kind of should work a little bit. And we're seeing it in Ganassi. Scott Dixon, yeah, he's not running as well as he has in the past. He's still running consistent. But it's Alex Palou, the young guy, that is full steam ahead. So, and you saw that transition. You saw it was Dixon. And then all of a sudden, boom, Alex Palou. So I like it when teams do that. That's, you see, and it works out really well. And that's why those teams that do that are the more consistent of your teams. But they also, the teams that are also doing it also have a lot more money, so they're able to do that a little bit more.
Right.
I understand that there's sides to all the arguments.
That is true. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of the Crash Course Podcast. Thank you guys all for listening. Remember that you can follow us on Facebook, 3C Media. Go follow us on Twitter as well, at 3C Media Sports. Go to the YouTube channel, 3C Media, over there, as well as on TikTok. Remember, you can watch us live every week, twitch.tv/CraigCrash. Remember, you can listen every week on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever podcasts can be heard, you can hear the Crash Course Podcast. You can follow me at Crash Course FM on Twitter. B. Scott, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Scott87.
Well, next week we will be wrapping up the GMR Grand Prix, as well as getting you guys ready for qualifying. Our month of May coverage is just beginning, and we hope you guys will join us in all of that. But until next week, have a good one, everybody.